God bless you this morning as we come together to remember the life of our sister. The family said they didn't want it to be just a funeral service, but they want it to be a worship service. That's how she would have wanted it. So we come together to remember her life, to worship the Lord together. Let's just have a word of prayer together, if you bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as our sister has gone to be with you, and Lord, we miss her. No doubt we'll continue to miss her till we see her again, Father, but we want to thank you for her life. We want to thank you for the testimony that she lived. Lord, she just didn't talk about it, but she lived it. Thank you for her life, Father. Lord, thank you for her years of service as a witness of you, Father, that people could see a Christ that's alive today, living through her. Lord, we just ask you to be with this service. Lord, we commit it to your hands. Every word that's said, every song that's sang, Lord, may it be pleasing to you. Father, just take complete control this morning, we pray. Comfort the family in a way that only you can, Father. Lord, give them the peace that passes understanding. We love you this morning, Father. Just be with us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Sister Betty loved to come to church. And she loved to worship the Lord. And we're going to worship him together. Help us sing this morning. Oh, there's a light in the window, and the tables spread in splendor. Someone's standing by the open door. Oh, I can see a crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, and I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, but we're ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. And this old lonesome heart gets crying. Oh, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, and I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, but we're ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Help me sing this verse again. Oh, I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old, no one's feeble anymore. Sometimes this lonesome heart gets crying. Saints, I feel like spreading my wings for flying. Oh, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home.
my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, but we're ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick. All one more time together. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never been this home.
Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. Brother David Buckles, I think, has some memories he wants to share of Sister Buckles. We just want to ask him if he'd come at this time.
I've just got a few things I wrote down that we'll share. I guess the first real memory that I have of my mother that stands out is when I was 7 years old. My brother Mark was, I think, 5 and a half, and Becky was 4. And we were all sick with the measles and the chicken pox all at the same time. And we had a little brother that was 15 months old, and he had a condition in his heart. He wasn't strong. In fact, we lost him at 15 months. And on top of all that, she was about 8 and a half, 9 months pregnant with Ruth. And yet, here she was taking care of us, ministering to us, making us comfortable with our measles and our chicken pox. Can you imagine that with 3 kids, almost 9 months pregnant, and a little baby that's disabled? She was a very selfless and giving person. My second thought memory is, you know, she was always a little soft and merciful when she was disciplining us kids. We had this method of dealing with her spankings. We would start hollering and crying and everything the minute she started swinging at us, because we knew if we did, it would end quicker. But a few times we kind of got carried away and we hollered before it ever touched us. And then she'd crack up and start laughing, and she still couldn't spank us very much. So the next thing I remember was, as a teenager, the fact that she would get up every morning and cook us breakfast. We would have eggs and biscuits, whatever we wanted there. Most people don't get that today, period. But she would get up, she would fix our breakfast. A lot of times I would stay in bed for the extra few minutes and skip the eggs and biscuits. But she was there, she was giving and dedicated as a mother and a homemaker. And the last thing I'll mention here on this is that I was able to talk to her about anything, knowing that her lips were sealed. And she would not judge, only pray. And there's some secrets that she's taken to her grave that I know she never divulged. And that says a lot about somebody's character. Just a few nights before Mother passed on, Ruth shared with me that she woke up in the middle of the night with commotion. Mom, she was so weak most of the time, she couldn't even move her legs. She couldn't sit up by herself. But when she woke up, Mom was sitting up crossways in the bed, just waving her hands and everything. We don't know. She said she looked like a little girl out in the middle of a the meadow with flowers all around her. And then there was another time she got out of her bed, somehow got over those bars and was standing there just waving her hands like that. We don't know what she was seeing, probably something from the other side. But she was giving glory to God. She wanted to go home to be with her Lord. And that's quite a testimony. And I want to read a couple passages of Scripture. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. I hope I can see my Bible here, because I guess I left my glasses in the car. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth and understandeth me. It's not how many mysteries and how much wisdom you have. Solomon was supposed to be one of the wisest men in the world, yet he didn't have enough sense to limit the number of wives, and he went after false gods. That's not too good a wisdom, is it? Samson was a mighty man, but his might didn't save him. But if you know and understand him, that makes all the difference. Because you see, that word know means to have a marriage relationship. That means you espouse his values, not your values. And what are his values? But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord that exercise loving kindness in the earth. Judgment and righteousness. That word righteous has to do with our dealings with one another. Making equitable choices. When you make a deal with somebody, making that deal so it is as fair for them as it is for you. Instead of always looking to come out on top at your brother's expense. God wants us to be fair with one another. Make a good deal. That doesn't mean you can't make a profit if that's the way you make your living. But he wants it to be a fair and equitable value. And I can say that I believe my mother espoused these values. She was always full of love and mercy to us. She left the judgment to Jesus Christ. And she was fair. And I want to read one more scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. It's talking about Paul saying, though I speak with tongues of angels and I prophesy and do all these things, if I don't have charity or love, it's worthless. I'm starting in verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And I can say, my mother knew what charity was. And I'm very grateful for the time that we had together on this earth. And I'm grateful that she's gone. My tears are not tears of sadness, but gratitude. Gratitude that my Lord let me see her one last time before she passed on. Gratitude that he took her out of her pain and her suffering and gave her her heart's desire, and that was to go be with him. what better place could she be? So I guess with that, I'll turn it back to whoever's next on the agenda.
Amen. And in talking with the family of what they wanted done with the funeral arrangements, they had mentioned they'd like to just open up a little bit of time here for anybody that has memories of Sister Buckles that they want to share, the friends and the family. So if anyone wants to come at this time, we're going to try to limit it 2 to 3 minutes per person, just because of time limitations. But if you've got a memory of Sister Buckles that you'd like to share, would anybody like to come forward and share something? Bless you, buddy.
Well, my brother David, he's a minister, so I'm not. I agree with everything he said, but I'm going to take it to a little lighter note here, and that is probably most people here knew that my mother worked at Kmart for about 10 years, and she decided to change her employment to Walmart. And I had just walked in to see her, and she worked in the deli. And as I walked up, she was advertising over the intercom a certain product she was selling. And when she got finished, she said, "Thank you for shopping our Kmart." And that was in Walmart. And I walked up and looked at her. I said, "Mom, do you realize what you just did?" And she says, "Oh, my goodness." And she went back to the mic and she said, "Thank you for shopping our Walmart." I'll never forget that. But just a little heavier note here, I was expounding to Brother Nathan and numerous people that have been to the wake and whatnot. I'm 60 years old, going on 61, and the one legacy that my mother left me, I cannot think of one time that that woman ever told me a lie. Never. From the earliest memory that I had, never one time did my mother lie to me. And to me, that's pretty awesome. And God bless all of you for coming.
Amen. Anybody else have memories of Sister Buckles they'd like to share? I know some of the family was wanting to, but didn't know if they'd be able to. You want to?
I love the Buckles family. I've been young with the family, and now I'm old. One thing I know, they've always been faithful. I love Mom and my brothers. I never heard her maybe say a ill word. I never heard her gossip about anybody.
And the family means just so much to me, because down through the years, they've been faithful. Faithful to God. I say faithful to God. It didn't make no difference where they were at. They were faithful to Him. And I am so grateful today for their testimony as a family. That is a beautiful family that's here today. And I want you to know I love each and every one of you. Always have, always will. No matter where you go, what you do, I'll always love you as a family. You mean a lot to me, have helped me through a lot of things, whether you even knew it or not. I've been closest to Stephen. Stephen's been with me a long time. Who knows, I might end up out there where he's at. But always have been a true blue friend to me. No matter what people have said or done, it didn't matter. He was a true friend and loved me in the Lord, as only God can give you that love. And I just appreciate the family. Love Sister Ruth. We go back years. My wife used to babysit the children. We have so many memories with the family and Ruth's children. And I'm just grateful to stand here today and be here. I wasn't supposed to be, but an appointment. I prayed and said, Lord, you know I want to be here. I went to the viewing, but my heart wanted to be here. And God made a way. At 9:30, they called me and said, your appointment at 10 o'clock was canceled. God is so faithful.
Right here, Brother Bill.
God is so good. When David and I decided to get married a few months ago, I talked to his mother a couple times on the phone. And we had prayed and asked God to let her be okay until we got here to visit. And he was good and allowed that. The first time I walked into the hospital room, it was David and I and Ruth and Betty. And I hugged her and gave her a kiss, and she was happy to meet me. And the most wonderful thing happened. The Holy Ghost showed up in the room. The presence of God just dropped down in the room. And Betty started speaking in the Spirit. I had just met my mother-in-law for the first time. And it was so beautiful. I was just amazed. And they were crying. And she just kept right on speaking out. And I that's here. That treasured memory of, I've only been a member of this family for a very short time, but that was a beautiful way to be taken in. So I just thank you for letting me speak, and I just thank you.
I was up at the hospital the other day visiting with Ruth and my grandmother right before she passed, and just started thinking of a few things about her whenever I was up there, and a memory came to me, and I discussed this with Ruth. Me and Stephen are about 2.5 years apart, so we're fairly the same age. I remember one time I was over there, I must have been about 2 years old, so that made Stephen about 4.5. And for some reason, he had a tricycle inside the house. At 4.5 years old, I don't know what he was doing, but he had this thing inside the house, and he was just trucking around all over the place. Now, they had their kitchen here, and the dining area was right here, and there's a little potted plant right there in between. And he was just trucking all over the place. Whenever he was done, though, he decided it would be, I guess, fun or just what he was going to do. He just popped that wheel up and stuck it right inside that plant. Now, Grandma came on by a few minutes later. She saw it there, and she was pretty upset. She found out who did it. She went, ran, and grabbed her house slipper and wore him out. He was sitting there screaming and hollering like somebody was beating him with a cane. Now, the next time I came over, I wasn't even worried about Stephen. I was just thinking about that tricycle. So the next time I came over, I was sitting there and thinking about it. I grabbed a hold of it. I was trucking around all over the place, and I remember what happened to him. I remember he got beat. But for the life of me, I couldn't stop myself. I had to sit there and park it right in that potted plant. Grandma comes through again. She goes, she's upset. Sitting there talking about referencing, because I think it was just like a week in between. Who did it? Well, Stephen, he wasn't going to take the blame this time. It wasn't him. So he pointed me out. I couldn't say anything because I did it. She got it. She wore me out. And I was pretty upset. I remember screaming, same thing, just like I was getting beat. But thinking back on it, you know, it didn't hurt. The only reason that I was upset is because my grandmother was upset with me. For the life of me, I don't know why that was so enticing doing what we did, but it was. I do agree with what my dad said when he was up here about Grandma. Grandma worked a full-time job as long as I can remember. Every morning she was up there to make breakfast for everybody, take care of everybody. She was always a very caring person. You could go to her, talk to her about anything. I don't ever remember feeling any kind of judgment. If you hadn't seen her or my grandfather for that matter, in a long time you walk in and it's like you'd been there every day. It was a very to me, a very warm experience with them. It was a nice, calm, friendly environment, a place to go to just relax, enjoy yourself, and be with your family. And it's been like that any time that I've been there from since I can remember to the present date. My dad made plenty of good points when he was up here, and again, I agree with everything he said there. One thing that I've tried to concentrate on with this situation is, I know a lot of us are upset because of our selfishly as humans and try to think of ourselves and not considering her. But at this point, my grandmother lived her life as a devout Christian, and at this point she's moving on to a better place. So I think that we should all celebrate the fact that she did live. We were able to spend time with her, enjoy her company, and then she moved on to someplace. Just because she beat us there doesn't mean it's a bad thing. So I wanted to show my love to my family and everybody else here and the memory of my grandmother. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else that wanted to share a memory before we move on with the service? Steve.
I guess my memories don't go back as far as some of my brothers and sisters, but I remember some of my first memories, 4 or 5 years old, was Christmas time. And Mom would always do the best she could to get us some kind of presents, and she would always, each year, she would find a different place to hide them because she knew we were looking. And I would search the house over. And somehow she found a place that I couldn't find. And I would go to her and I would always ask her, where are they at? And she would look at me so seriously and say, somewhere between the A and the T. It used to drive me nuts because I wanted to find them presents so bad and see what I had coming. But yeah. I'm thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful for the time we had. You know, God's given us a lot of time on the earth. And what a great testimony to have spent that life serving Jesus Christ. I pray that by the grace of God, one day when, if the Lord tarries, that I can have that same kind of testimony. As I look at my mom and my dad also, I spent so many years. All I can remember is a nightly prayer meeting. A time spent with the Lord. That's the most important thing. Is that knowing Jesus Christ. And that's the life that they showed and the example that they've made. And I know, I sit and I think, I was talking to my sister and Ruth the other day, and it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, I talked to Mom on the phone. And I think it was at that point I realized she was getting ready to go home. Because it was like all of life had rolled back. And the most sweetest spirit. She was like a jar of honey. I said, that's Mama. That's that spirit. It's that Christian life down on the inside. That's what we're going to meet again. This body, it was wore out. It couldn't go on. She had to lay it down. But as the scripture says, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. There ain't no wrinkles over there. There's no stooped shoulders.
There's no standing up and have to think for a few seconds before you can take that first step. There's no gray hair. There's no hair falling out. She's over there in glory now. I begin to think of different ones. Think about Danny. Every time, even at 80 years old, when she would talk about him, the one that went to be with the Lord, as David talked about, the tears would start rolling down her face. But she's there with him now. Begin to think about the ones that Mom and Dad have known through the years. I begin to think about Brother and Sister Shepherd. I begin to think about Brother and Sister Shippy. Different ones. They're over there rejoicing now. One day we're going to join with them. One day it's going to all be over. This trial called life that we have here, it's going to all be over. And what we do for Jesus Christ right now, that's what matters. That's what gives us the strength to go another day, is our service to the Lord. Mom's lived hers. She's lived a life through everything, and she's finished the race. She's completed the course. And now she went to be with the Lord. I'm thankful for that. That sweet spirit, that was the real mom. That jar of honey, that was the real mom. I'll never forget that. Her body, we were a spirit being, that we have a tabernacle. When this tabernacle gets wore out, God has another one for us. As Paul says, we're not as others that have not a hope, but we have a hope. It lives within us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Mom carried with her all the days of her life. So many things. She just loved to be in the presence of the Lord, loved to go to church. And that's the memories that stand out to me. I'm thankful to the Lord to have had the parents I've had. We all have faults and failures, but to have parents that could raise you to know the Lord Jesus, that could teach you that you're supposed to pray, to read your Bible. God, help us to be the same and to live the same kind of life and to continue to spread the light of Jesus Christ as they have across the world. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. I believe Jasmine Buckles, one of the great-granddaughters, has a special she's going to sing for us at this time. Thank you.
this time, Brother Ron Buckles has a poem that he's going to read for us.
Bless you, buddy. Well, I'd like to introduce myself for a minute. I was the seventh child born. It's a number of perfection. So, Stephen, don't ever forget that, okay? I wrote a poem. It's called The Priceless Gift by Janelle McCombs of Mississippi. It was originally written for a birthday celebration for a famous family. I took it and I revised it, used it as a template, and put it in my own words to my mother. And here it is. And bear with me if I don't make it through. It said, life is always special, especially even as this one comes to an end. We wondered where God will have you to be. We know just any place will not do. We thought of streets of gold and priceless treasures, mansions lined with silver, walls, yet nothing seemed appropriate, or none of, at least I thought. Money seemed so cold and fleeting, brought treasures go so fast, and a reward of a genuine old saint should not be one, should be the one that will last. You know you're sort of special. You and Dad are really all we've got. We were Mama's bit of heaven and Daddy's tiny tot. We closed our eyes, the years rolled by, and we slowly found our way to a shadowed corner in the closet. It was our link to yesterday. We raised our head and we opened our eyes, and there was a priceless treasure lay, a tattered apron with strings still tied. We knew we had heard her say, children, I'm now just a precious memory. But don't ever forget one thing. I always tried to guide your lives with Jesus and these worn-out apron strings. They guided a man named Jesus as he steered the race of the human fate. It's the only gift I could afford to give you that would never go out of date. Jesus and these apron strings changed the course of history as great men felt their hearts tug. They followed our children onto battlefields without the slightest shrug. They guided both kings and beggars through harmony and strife. Children, you surely must have felt their tug for how God has blessed your lives. We bowed our heads and said a prayer, for we knew God had surely touched this genuine old saint and her apron that had meant so much. So, Mom, thank you for the priceless gift that surpasses all other things. A whole lifetime of love from Jesus and your worn-out apron strings.
Sister Buckles had a favorite song of The Great Speckled Bird, and her son Mark made a recording of that. He plays steel guitar, and they had asked if we would play that at this time. She'd requested it for this memorial event, so we're just going to play that at this time.
Thank you. Betty J. Buckles, 81, entered eternal life during the early morning hours of Sunday, July 24th, 2016, at the hospice inpatient care unit at Norton Pavilion. She was born on October 28th in 1934 to Zenas and Abigail Bachelor in Waynesboro, Virginia. Betty worked in retail for over 30 years and was a member of the Church of the Open Door, located in New Albany, Indiana. She was preceded in death by both of her parents and her son, Daniel H. Buckles, her sister, Billie Jean Fazig, and her brother, Stuart M. Bachelor. Brother Buckles had asked that I say a few words this morning, and we'll try to keep it as short as possible, knowing that Brother Nathan has a few words to speak also. I'd like to read this morning several passages of Scripture, one being in Job 14, 12 through 15. Job speaking, saying, "So a man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou would appointest me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." Then in Job 19, he says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Little does he know they have been. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm shall destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." The Apostle John says in the 14th chapter, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whether I go now, and whether I go, ye know, and ye know the way. And Thomas said unto him, said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also, and from henceforth you know him, and you've seen him." The Apostle Paul wrote this in Corinthians. He said, "To whom God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." From a message entitled "Letting Off the Pressure," Brother Branham had these words to say, and it's about a sister named, he called her Little Mother Ford. I want to read it, but I want you to think about it and apply that to our sister Buckles, because the things I've heard about her, this fits real fitting for Sister Buckles. He said, "Now in the face of all of that, I said, here's Little Mother Ford as I know her. She washed my little dirty face when I was a little kid many times, and they was as poor as could be. Said, but she was born a female, a lovely girl. And if she was born a female, that was for a purpose. And that was to have a mate, a male. And she did. And a loyal mate she was. She lived with her husband for some 60 years or better. And a more loyal woman wasn't born as I know of, a real lady. And being that she was in that union, they were to have children. And here is her nice children. Fine children sitting here, just as lovely. Said, you children would never want a better mother, or would you?" He says, "No. Her husband could not want a better wife." And I said, "She was as poor as could be, but nobody could ever come to her door or need but what she would give them. and said to the neighbors, no matter what trouble they was in, Mrs. Ford, any hour of the night, was there to help, do anything she could with what she had to do. And I said, and above all that, I had the privilege one time of seeing that seed germatized by the Holy Ghost. Said she was born again of the Spirit of God. And I said, they're going to plant her in a little while in the ground. And who intelligently could stand up and say she'll not rise again? If you say she won't rise again, then the leaf didn't go down to the bottom of the tree before the frost fell to hide itself, to come back next year with a new leaf. If that sap lay in that tree until the frost and a freeze would hit it, it would kill that germ of life and that sap, and the tree would die. But some intelligence, it has none of its own. That's botany life, and it has no intelligence. But something controls it. Before we have a frost or anything in the country, way in August, them leaves begin to go off the tree because the sap leaves the tree and goes down into the roots way beneath the ground to hide that germ of life and to bring it back again the next year with more fruit. What does that? What intelligence? The same intelligence that controls our life. That's right. And before we could say there's no resurrection for a little saint like that sitting here that served God 65 years, and I was thinking of her lying there in that oxygen tent and her breathing, her breath just coming, said, my, she'll rise again someday. He said, she's got to. That's all. Before you could say that she would not, you'd have to say there's no springtime. There's no resurrection of the seeds. There's no summer, no winter. There's no rising and setting of the sun. And there's no such thing as the Word of God. Why, it would be crazy to say such a thing. There is a resurrection. And just as sure as that world floats around in the face of this sun again, and it give this sun which was given by commission of God to rise with its warm rays and that botany life, and just as soon as time floats around, until eternity breaks again, and that S-O-N rises out there, something's going to happen. All of them lies that's germatized in him will rise again. It's just got to. There's no way of any other way. See, the Creator expressing himself in his creation. See, that's what God is doing. And what could, and we could look out, and anybody that's half intelligent could look and see that God, that it's God, that Christianity is based upon resurrection. Now, if I dropped this piece of paper on the floor and it went down and I come over here and picked it up or something similar, that isn't resurrection. That's replacement. But resurrection is to bring up this same one. And we're coming back again. You plant a yellow grain of corn and it'll produce another yellow grain of corn, see? And we go down mortal and we raise immortal. And we're so glad of that today. Oh, our whole Christian hope is built upon that right there alone. So to come together and sit in heavenly places like this in Christ Jesus, what a privilege it is for all of us, young and old, looking for that time that Jesus will come. Which is what Paul was speaking of, said it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Over in Genesis, Jacob said he went and he called the name of the place Peniel. And he said, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I'd like to ask you a question today. This came Tuesday night. I was sitting with Brendan. We were listening to some Christian songs over my computer, and we were listening to them. And in one of the songs, the man singing it asked the question, did you see God today? And it struck me. So she went over to take care of her mother, and my son Paul was there, and he went out to his trailer, and I was sitting there by myself, and as I like to do every so often, I like to get up and walk out on the back porch and sit down, and it's quiet and nothing going on. It was evening. And I sat there and I thought about that. Did you see God today? And I was sitting there and thoughts started coming. I picked my phone up and started writing down thoughts for this morning. And I thought about it. You know, we went to the mortuary yesterday, and I see in this morning, I looked here in the casket, I seen God. Oh, you say, well, that body, it's just, no, no. I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the memory of the life that she lived, which we heard about from her children this morning. We seen God in a woman. We seen God when she prophesied. We seen God when she walked in and sang. We seen God living in her. I seen God. I was out mowing the grass the other day. I seen God. When I see my children, I see God. When I see my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, I see God. I stand here this morning, I see God. I was sitting out there writing my thoughts down Tuesday evening, and it was raining lightly. And I was thinking about this little talk to you this morning, and I thought, there it is, raining, and I see God. I looked out over the lawn, and I seen the fireflies starting to light up. It was just becoming, starting to get evening and starting to darken up, and the fireflies were lighting. And I thought, I see God. The crickets were going, just, you know how crickets are? They were just getting started in the evening time, and I thought, there's God again. And as I said, standing here, I look out, and I see God again. For He lives in you. Think about it. You should be able to see God in me. I should be able to see God in you. But my question is for those sitting here that may not know Him. Do you see God? What about God in you? He wants to live in you. And if He don't, you need to find Him. If you don't, remember your grandmother, remember your aunt, remember your whatever she was to you in relationship or your friend, and think about it. Does my life, does that God that she served, does He live in me? Did she live such a life that it would make you hungry, that you would want to live for the same God that she lived for, that you would want to live the same kind of life that she lived? You can. You can know the Bible. You can go to church. You can sing songs. You can do all these different things. But do you know Him? I know a lot of people that, as you know, we here follow the teachings of William Branham. I know people that can quote you quotes backwards and forwards and quote Bibles and quote scriptures and everything else. But what I want to know is they know all of that, but do they know the author of that book? And if they claim they do, does their life match what that author, the author of that book said? It's not how much you go to church. It's not how religious you are. It's knowing the author. Because if you know Him, He straightens everything else up. Oh, and then as darkness began to fall, I was still sitting there. It's getting darker, and the crickets are getting louder and louder. You know how they get at night? Boy, they just really like to talk to each other and chirp and make all those noises. And the fireflies, there's more and more of them coming out. And I thought, yeah, that's just about right. All these little things that don't come out until dark are now appearing. And I sat there and I thought, well, what about you, Bill Layton? What about you and your soul? So I did an examination. And I found out sitting there with me and God in the presence of the Lord on that back porch, all is well. Amen. All is well. And I thought, you know, you can try to fool yourself, but you can't. You can fool somebody else, but you can't fool God, and you can't fool yourself. And I looked again, and I thought, after I got through looking at my own self, and I thought, all is well. Yes, Lord, between Thee and me, all is well. I wonder, can all of you say that this morning? I'm not being self-righteous. I'm just stating a fact. I've already died once and been resurrected. I don't fear death. I don't fear going. So if he wants to take me before I step out of this pulpit, all is well. Because I'll be right over there with my sister Buckles. There'll be no problem. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he'll stand, and he shall stand at that day, that latter day, upon the earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God, whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold, and not another." Can you say that this morning? I want you to think about it. In memory of Sister Buckles, the life that she lived, can you say that if I go home today, that I'll be able to step beyond what we like to term as the curtain of time, that place where the saints of God go and they're gathered and they're waiting on us, waiting for that time when they can come back and we'll all be gathered together and we'll see our Lord Jesus Christ in the air? Will you be numbered among those this morning? Or are you just going along saying, "Well, we'll just see how it goes"? Is he calling? If he is, you should answer. Can you say as Job did, "I'll see him"? That's what I want this morning for each one of you. As darkness settled and the crickets got louder and the fireflies got brighter, I could say, "All is well with my soul." Can you say that this morning? Think about it. Is all well with your soul? If not, I urge you to find your way to the Lord Jesus Christ and become, as our sister Buckles was, a real Holy Ghost-filled Christian, living a life for herself, for her God, for her husband, for her children, for her friends. So that when, if your day comes and my day comes and we're laying there as she is, that people can say, "What a Christian. What a child of God." Be that way before it's too late and find your way to the Lord. God bless you.
The family had asked if I would speak at the funeral, and I just want to say it's an honor to be involved in a memorial of a Christian like our sister. I was thinking and preparing for the service today. One time there was a family whose brother began to get very sick, and they had tried to get word to Jesus and ask him to come and pray for their brother, and he refused to come. No doubt that hurt their feelings because they had looked to him as a leader, but he knew that he had to be about the Father's business, and he said he always did that which was pleasing to the Father. And when Sister Buckles was not feeling well and had been in the hospital multiple times here recently, we went to visit her several times, and we would always, each time we went, we would try to encourage her, but we would always come away feeling encouraged. But Jesus couldn't go to visit his friend, even though I'm sure he wanted to, because he knew the faith that Lazarus had in him, no doubt he wouldn't have, things wouldn't have went the way that they did. And then when Lazarus died, he didn't even make it to the funeral. No doubt that hurt him as well. And it seemed like he was just late, constantly late. But as Brother and Sister Layton sing, even when he was 4 days late, he was right on time. And he began to talk to Lazarus' family after he had been late to the funeral and too late to pray for him when he was sick. And he begins to speak to Lazarus' sisters, and he says in St. John chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And he says in verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me," I want you to notice it wasn't just enough to believe in him, but "whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Well, we look at our sister this morning laying here, and you'd say, "Well, she died." No, she didn't. No, when Jesus went to visit Jairus' daughter there, they had laid her out in the home, and they ran and told him, said, "Don't bother Jesus, she's dead." And Jesus went on anyhow. And when he got to the house, they were all gathered around mourning and crying and making a commotion, a lot of his friends and different ones. And he comes in there and Jesus looks at her body laying there, no doubt, just like Sister Buckles is laid out here today. And he looked down at her and he said, in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 52, he said, "Weep not, she's not dead, but she sleepeth." We're taught that a Christian never dies. There's no reference in the Bible, in the New Testament, where it talks about a Christian dying. It said that they fall asleep. Jesus said when Lazarus was dying, he turned to the disciples and he said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." And the disciples didn't understand. They said, "Well, if he sleepeth, Lord, he doeth well." But he was speaking on a spiritual level, and they were caught down here in the carnal, like many of us get so many times. But she's not dead. She's more alive than we are this morning. And she's in a body that'll never get sick. It'll never get tired. Oh, there'll never be a gray hair. Never be a pain. Never be an ache. Never be any sorrow. She's better off than we are this morning. And I can speak that with assurance. And Brother Branham, when he goes to preach Sister Bell's funeral in 1962 there, he makes this statement. As I was listening to it in preparation for the service today, it stuck out to me so much because I can say the same thing about our Sister Buckles this morning. He said, "It's so easy to say words over someone like this because you don't have to pull back anything. She was what was required to be a Christian." Sometimes when a person dies, you notice the minister, they kind of have to hem-haw around things and kind of polish up things to try to preach them into the pearly gates, and they have to hold back over here and hold back over there. But we don't have to hold anything back this morning. We know where our sister is. And what a blessed assurance it is to the family to know they don't have to worry about where she's at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said it this way. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Notice he didn't say they were dead. "Them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Oh, certainly we grieve as friends and family. We shed our tears and we mourn in our own separate ways. Everybody mourns and grieves and shows their emotions a little bit differently. But we're all missing our sister, that certainly. But we don't have to grieve as those which have no hope because we have a hope. We have a hope of the resurrection that we'll see her someday again. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We won't hinder them. They'll be caught up first to meet us here. And we'll recognize them and we'll see them. And we'll, oh my, what a blessed reunion it'll be. Jesus said this in St. John 5:24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed," this is past tense, "is passed from death unto life." Not we will pass from death unto life, but that we already are. Amen. There's no death to a Christian. There's just a changing of bodies. As Brother Layton said it, from mortal to immortality. And she took her step a few nights ago or early in the morning on Sunday. She just took a little step into a different body, a young body that's healthy and happy. And I believe one of the children was telling me yesterday at the viewing that Brother and Sister Buckles' wedding anniversary would have been just a few days ago, 63 years. What a testimony in this age that we live in. 63 years that they served the Lord together. I was reminded of something Brother Branham said in Kinsman Redeemer 1960. We quote it many times at weddings, but I thought it was fitting for this morning for the funeral. Brother Branham talking about how when a man finds a woman that he loves and there's just something about her, he doesn't know why, but he loves her and she loves him. He said, "That's an eternal mate in glory." He said, "Death nor nothing else can ever separate them because they're from eternity and they stepped out into a space of time and will return back to eternity." He said eternity has dropped down in a body called time. Then it goes right back up into eternity again. It cannot perish. So I believe that you've got a date, Brother Buckles, scheduled with your wife in eternity. Oh, what a honeymoon it'll be. Oh, never to be tired again. Never to be weary again. Not have to worry about bills or your hair falling out or turning gray or being weary. It's an eternal mate in glory. What a blessed people we are to have the truth. As Mark mentioned earlier, 60 years, he never heard his mother tell a lie. What a testimony of our sister. And how Ruth was telling me earlier, and I believe David or one of the children had quoted it, that she somehow got out of her hospital bed, unhooked all the cords and the breathing tubes and the IV and was just praising the Lord. What a testimony. I want to go like that when I go. You hear of many people when they go battling and suffering and you know, fighting demons and everything else, but I want to go like that when I go, just in peace, just praising the Lord. And Brother Buckles was telling me when we got together the other day to go over the arrangements for the funeral, he was telling me about a time that someone had got very sick there in the store where she worked at Walmart, and the other employees went through the store and found Sister Buckles and took her and had her pray for this person that was sick in the store. Now, what a testimony that even her coworkers could see the life that she lived when there was something that came up, an emergency. They didn't call 911. They went and got Sister Buckles. Oh, my. What a testimony. We're told of a story when there was a saint of old that was trying to witness to a king of England. And as he was talking to him, it was of evening, and the window was open, and there was a light on the inside. A little sparrow, being attracted to the light, flew in and flew around the room and flew back out. And the man asked him, he said, "Where did he come from and where did he go?" And that's a question that we all have to settle here. We all came from somewhere and we're going somewhere. Brother Bram teaches us that there's only one book, and that's the Bible, that'll tell us where we came from and where we're going to. And I hope that you know, we know where our sister went this morning. We don't question that. We have a peace about that. But we want it to be settled, where are we going to go when we live here? And in Things That Are to Be in 1965, he put it this way. He said, "This old earthly tabernacle here, you know what it is?" He said, "This body is like an old coat that you wear, a coat that you once wore. But now you have one so much better, you don't use it anymore. What do?" He said, "You take that old coat and you hang it up in the closet because you've got one better. You've got a better coat. It's more up to date than the one you used to wear that's worn out." And he said, "That's like this earthly garment, this body. Your real body, your real self is on the inside of this old coat." That you call, you're okay, brother. I'm just using it for a demonstration. He said, your real self is on the inside of this old coat that you call William Branham or Susie Jones or whoever it is. See, someday it'll hang in the earth's hall of memory of you. We're about to take our sister down, and the grave there, the funeral home and the gentlemen at the graveyard, they'll hang up this old coat that she wore. But she's not there anymore. She's got a better one somewhere. He said, "You'll put it out yonder in the grave. Somebody will put a tombstone up. Say, 'Here lies Reverend so-and-so or John so-and-so or so-and-so.' It'll lie there as a memorial of you. The people just seen you in this. And what was you, your real you, was on the inside of that. But the old coat itself just bore the image of the heavenly." He said, "Oh, people, have you made reservations to change coats? Have you made reservations for heaven? Remember, you must make reservations. You can't get in without them." Sister Buckles loved to come to church, and she told me she didn't like to sit on the front row. She liked to have something to hold on to. But her and Brother Buckles would always sit on the second row right in front of me over here. And she loved to come to church. And there was, through the winter, I don't like to cancel church unless we just absolutely have to. And so unless the roads are just treacherous, we tried to have church, and there was a Sunday morning, we'd had a little snow, and me and the trustee brothers, and I think a couple of the deacon brothers had drove over to check the parking lot at the church and see the conditions and check the roads between here and there, and I was praying about should we cancel service or not, and Brother Buckles calls me, and he said, well, Brother Nathan, he said, are we having service? He said, I got out and got the car cleaned off, and it's warming up. And I thought, oh, my, if Brother and Sister Buckles can make it, shame on us for even thinking about canceling church. And they were there that morning, even though there was snow on the road and snow on the sides there in the grass, but yet they was there at church. I thought, what a testimony. What a testimony that their life was. There were prayer warriors, and if I know many that if you had a need and you needed to reach the throne of God, they would call on Brother and Sister Buckles because they knew that they were prayer warriors that could get through and touch the corridors of heaven. And Paul encourages us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I just, before we close the service this evening, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I know if Sister Buckles was here, seeing her friends and her family, her loved ones that she cared so much about, I know she'd be so honored to see the ones that came to pay their respects to her and the ones that came and wanted to be a part of this service, that sent flowers and have had her on their minds this week and maybe traveled great distances to be here. No doubt she was concerned about you. No doubt she wants to spend eternity with you. We know that she's already there and rejoicing with her little son that had gone on before and her parents, different loved ones that passed on beyond the curtain of time before her. But I wonder this morning, I know she would want me to do this. That's why I'm doing it. But if you haven't made preparations to be with her, I wonder if there'd be someone with every head bowed and every eye closed. Someone just slip up your hand and say, I want to make preparations. I want to make sure that I'm there, that I can spend eternity with Grandma Buckles or Aunt Betty or whatever she was to you, your friend, your relative, whoever she was. No doubt she meant so much to you and was such a testimony of her life. If there's anyone that it's not settled with, why don't you settle it this morning? God sees each hand. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as our sister, she's gone on before us. No doubt she's rejoicing. Maybe you let her look over the banisters of heaven this morning just to see the ones that are gathered here to remember her life and to rejoice in her testimonies. Lord, may you be with each one. If there's anyone that hasn't settled where they're spending eternity, Lord, may they make that choice today. May they make that decision solemnly and soberly in the presence of God. Lord, may they, if there's anything wrong, may they make it right. May they make that choice now, we pray. We thank you, Father, for our sister and for her life, for the testimony that she lived before us. Thank you for her family, Lord. May you just comfort them through this time. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. I believe Brother Buckles is going to sing a song for us at this time. I'm just going to ask him if he'd come. Maybe we can just help him out.
Much all of you that was able to be here this morning, and we just enjoy sharing our life with you, and I shall continue to do so. We enjoy your life. We would like to share our life with you. And like Brother Nathan was talking about, you know, crossing to the other side. It's a marvelous thing. It's a great time to cross over when we get ready to cross over. And I just had a few little things I wanted to share with you. You know, about Betty, she's a really a sweetheart. I remember we lived over in Jeffersonville in a townhouse over there, and I remember that morning Betty and I were sitting on the couch, and I was sitting very close to her, and Steve had just come around the door from the kitchen. And he saw me sitting beside his mother. And he ran over there and he pushed me to the side and just kept pushing me away. And I didn't resist him. I just slid over, you know, and he slid right in there. And there's some little old cute things, you know, I hadn't forgotten about. And I remember that he had a German Shepherd dog that he loved that dog. I think he called him Hallie. Culture dog is I think his parents were show dogs of Phoenix, Arizona. And he was very cultured. So got up that morning and Betty and I, we walked up the stairs, and she said, "Well, what is that over there?" I said, "Well, I guess he loved him so he just wanted to sleep with him." So he was Hallie laying there on the other side of it. So we laughed it off and went on. But a lot of little cute things, but I won't take up so much time. And loved her very much. 63 years we traveled much in the gospel work from one town to another. We tried to wait until our children finished their schooling and then we'd move on again. We'd go from one place to another. From Waynesboro, Virginia, to Oklahoma, and Oklahoma back to Mississippi, and Mississippi down in Louisiana. And from Louisiana, I believe we went back to Mississippi, and from there to Virginia, and then from Oklahoma, and out to Phoenix, and back to Dallas, Texas. And from there, we went back to Mississippi and on up in Virginia again. We just traveled and we did gospel work. Just preached the gospel and sang the gospel and enjoyed it. Just enjoyed it very much. And I spent 4 years in the armed service and I kind of developed a going there. I just, you know, traveled around freely and didn't worry about anything, because they took care of everything. And so I guess I never did get over it. And I just wanted to travel and do things for the Lord. Amen. It's wonderful to serve the Lord. And I guess I was really fortunate to have somebody that would travel with me. But she never complained. I guess she loved me enough to, and the family just travel with me and enjoy it. A little old song, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sing it or not. You know, it just depends on your prayers. The song I sang every so often is, I won't have to cross the Jordan alone. Amen. And I believe it's in C. I believe it is. When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there be somebody waiting to show me the way. I will have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. And I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Though the billows of sorrow, trouble may sweep, Christ the Savior will care for His own. Till the end of the journey, my soul He will keep. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And I will have to cross Jordan alone. And Jesus died all my sins atone. When in darkness I see, and He'll be waiting for me, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Oftentimes I'm forsaken, weary and sad, when the seems that my friends have all gone. There is one thought that cheers me and makes my heart glad. I will have to cross Jordan alone. And I will have to cross Jordan alone. And Jesus died all my sins to atone. When in darkness I see, He'll be waiting there for me, and I will have cross Jordan alone. And I will have to cross Jordan alone. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Nathan.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Buckles. Let's just stand, if you would, at this time. We're going to be having a committal service to be held at the Kraft Graceland Cemetery over here. If you want to come to that, just follow the family. I believe we're going to have a police escort. And we just want to have a word of prayer before we dismiss. And then the ushers are going to come in just a moment and dismiss you. Let's just bow our heads again together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the life of our sister. Lord, thank you for her precious family that's gathered here together. Lord, thank you for each soul that's represented here this morning. Lord, as we dismiss from this building, may we never leave your presence. May you just abide with us, Father, wherever we go, to our homes, our jobs, our schools. Lord, wherever we go, may you be welcome to go with us, Father. All that we do, may we do it in your name, Lord. Whatever we do, if we sing, let us sing in the Spirit. If we preach, let us preach in the Spirit. If we testify, Lord, may we all be in the Spirit, Father. Keep your guiding hand upon each one. Protect those, each one as we go our separate ways. Those that have to travel home long distances, be with them, Father. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that Sister Buckles, she didn't only testify with her mouth, but that she lived a life that was a testimony. Thank you for her, Father. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The family had asked that we sing this song together. We're just going to sing part of this. And then... as they dismiss you by each row, if you want to walk by, pay your last respects to Sister Buckles and just exit out on the sides. Let's sing a couple of verses of this before we have them dismiss you. Amen. I believe that she's, I think this was one of the ones that she was singing many times there in the hospital before she passed on. We know that she did.
Oh, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I know I'll fly away. I'm going to a home on God's celestial shore. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, singing, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away. And then when the shadows of this life have flown, I know I'll fly away. Oh, just like a bird from these prison bars has flown. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, yes, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away. Well, there's just a few more weary days and then I know I'll fly away. We're going to a land where our joy shall never end. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, sing it, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away. I know some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away. I'm going to my home on God's celestial shore. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, sing it, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away. shadows of this life have grown, I know I'll fly away. Oh, just like a bird from these prison bars has flown, oh, I'll fly away. Yes, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Well, there's just a few more weary days, and then I know I'll fly away. We're going to that land where our joy will never end. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, singing I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, yes, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, I'll fly away. I know some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. We're going to a home on God's